Oh, I know that sound.
We know this sound very well, absolutely. There's only one man that we love to talk about movies, and that is Paul Preston. Paul, how are you, buddy?
I thought that was going, there's only one man we love more than bikinis.
That is also true.
Yeah, either of those I would take, so thank you.
Absolutely. Brother, how are you doing? How was your 4th of July?
Good. I hosted an event in Burbank at McCambridge Park. They had, you know, with all the fires, people been switching to drone shows. I don't know if you talked about that. I was just able to get on your show here a few minutes ago. But we had one of those, and I don't even know how they do that. It's so impressive, you know, giant California flag waving above the mountains. You have 400 drones, 400 feet in the air. That was really cool. Mm. And then it switches into an eagle. Then it switches into the Statue of Liberty. You know, they just zip around. And pretty unbelievable. And two great bands, the Ultimate Rock Band and then a band called Bruno and the Hooligans. Killer Bruno Mars.
Oh, wow.
Band, you know, just to pull off all that stuff, you know, with the energy and the multiple instruments. Being super funky. And I had the pleasure of hosting that. They've been at the Starlight Bowl, which is where I've hosted in years past, but the Starlight got a bit of a damage from the winds we had back in January. So they've passed the savings on to us, I guess. They decided instead, the Parks and Rec in Burbank, to do these free shows all summer. So everything's free now
in
the various parks of Burbank. So I'll be hosting an Encanto sing-along on July 19th. And
Oh, neat.
Footloose in Johnny Carson Park on the 23rd, along with some other concerts by like the Spasmatics and some other people like that. So, yeah, so it was real fun. Bunch of friends came out, you know, some people nearby, easy to get to, and you know, and it's not too bad to park over there. So, yeah, even getting in and out wasn't too bad. So, yeah, a great night was had.
Nice, man. Glad to hear it, and glad you got to host it and everything. I saw the post on it, and it looked wonderful.
Yeah, it was fun. And we did the Wild Robot last week, too, as our first. We normally don't do movies at the Starlight Bowl, but they've decided to do movies and concerts for all these free events all summer. And that's definitely was worth the review. The second time through seeing Wild Robot. Great movie. Great movie.
Awesome, buddy. Well, what movie should we be going out this weekend and in the upcoming weeks also?
Speaking of great movies, you know, I told you, look, I was unable to get to like the big stuff, but I hear Jurassic World Rebirth, the reviews are so mixed on that, mostly bad. It's like, I felt like I just wasn't in a hurry to get to it before I got on here. It's just opened, you know, 3 days.
Now, with that being said, you know, I mean, the original Jurassic Park films, I think, you know, say the first couple of ones, were really good, you know, and I think, you know, challenging it as far as the subject matter, how they were handling it, the continuation of, you know, doing sequels and this and everything. But now it just seems kind of like, I don't know, the same formula, but it's not working as well. Why do you think that is?
Well, my theory is, first of all, the first movie is one of the greatest films ever made, and it's coming to the Hollywood Bowl. I can't remember the exact dates, maybe the beginning of August, for a couple of nights where they do that brilliant thing where they, and I'm doing this for Jaws tonight
at
the Bowl, where they show the movie, but they pull the score out of the soundtrack, and then the L.A. Phil plays the score live.
Oh, yeah, those are so good.
It's a great way to see a movie. I've done Raiders like that and E.T. And
well, Empire you and I went to go see Empire Black Strikes Panther. Back that way.
Yeah, exactly. That was great. So tonight's Jaws, and then they're doing Jurassic Park because that score, John Williams, but in both those movies.
Just, yeah,
he's the greatest ever, as I've established on here many times. But I think the first movie is amazing, definitely worth reviewing. It's the concepts you talk about, the real thrills are exciting. Just the danger of, oh, what if these things were on Earth today? You know, all that. Now it's just a monster movie. I think that's the problem. They just go, here's a monster movie where we put people in danger. They're going to, I mean, I haven't seen it, so I'd hate to, you know, talk in advance of seeing it, but it feels like they'll throw some scientific concepts at you and then it's just a monster chasing movie.
Got it.
Which will work less than something that really captivates your imagination. And maybe the Goldblum factor, too. around. He was such a wild card, awesome character. It's, it was fun to have him in those first couple movies. But instead of that, I went out to see The Life of Chuck. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you heard of this movie. It's based on a Stephen King novel from longtime adapter of his books, Mike Flanagan. He made Gerald's Game and Dr. Sleep. And he's second to Frank Darabont. Frank Darabont's the big guy who takes King stuff and makes them into films like Shawshank Redemption and The Mist and The Green Mile. Mm. But Flanagan's getting there. This is based on a 2020 book called If It Bleeds. It had a bunch of short stories in it from King during the lockdown. And so this was a short story in there that they decided to make into a film. And I can't even imagine how this story reads, because as a film, it's very complicated. And it's tough to even say what it's about and review it successfully, except just to say, go. It's still out there. You know, I know that in the summer, every weekend, something piles on and pushes older movies out, makes room in the multiplex for the new stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's still out there. It's been a couple places in Burbank. It's in NoHo. So wherever you are, it's probably still there. And I think it deserves a cinematic treatment, as all movies do, to get to the theater and see it. But it's tells a story, kind of a guy named Chuck, sort of, in three acts, not necessarily in chronological order. So it's one of those movies that at the end will make everything will make sense, and you'll just be flooded with these thoughts and emotions and just go, whoa, okay. Not like in a Sixth Sense way, mm-hmm. but just, you know, this sprinkling all this thoughts as you rethink what you've seen through the whole movie differently. Like, you know, Sixth Sense gives you the one thing and says, go back and think about all these scenes and add this one thing to it. Okay, add 100 things to all these different 100 other things you just saw. So it's very complicated, but asks a lot of the viewer, and really is satisfying in the end. It demands your attention, demands you to think about life and imagination, choices, and how they ripple through the whole of existence. I mean, the movie's just awesome. And then I know that doesn't sound like Stephen King stuff, but he goes deep every once in a while with Shawshank and Hearts in Atlantis, Stand By Me. And Life of Chuck isn't even as dark as some of those films, you know, because Shawshank's pretty dark, but it is, because it's King, after all, it still involves a magical house, death, and the end of the world. So if you like King, that stuff's still in there. Much of it has to do with a Walt Whitman poem Chuck reads as a kid that contains the phrase, I contain multitudes. Mm-hmm. The multitudes they're referring to are the memories you gather in your head as you grow older. So that stuff's all contained in your head, like a multitude, the multiple worlds in your head. And it just talks about how those memories affect Chuck at various times in his life, including at the very end of it. There's no way to sell this movie well. I mean, I could throw critic crap on you. A celebration of life, a bittersweet examination of our place in the grand expanse of time, which sounds like nonsense critic quotes, but that, I'm not wrong.
Yeah,
if I say those things, you know? Perhaps I could sell it with good actors, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Carl Lumley, Tom Hiddleston, Karen Gillan, who is Nebula in the MCU.
Uh-huh.
Total different set of skills, playing quiet, emotional. And Mark effing Hamill is great as mm-hmm. Chuck's grandfather. It's great to see
Harrison
Ford doing such great work, and now Hamill's doing such great work, you know, later in their careers. When Chuck, the character of Chuck, who we follow, you know, in this anti-chronological order, when he was young, his grandfather was a big influence, and Hamill plays the grandfather, tells him the history of this house they live in, and he has moments of huge emotion. He just delivers, and I was pretty impressed. Also, you got Matthew Lillard in there, who I feel like I haven't seen in a while, and Mia Sara, Ferris Bueller's girlfriend.
Oh wow!
You know, now she's playing a grandma, but she's just a.
Does she still wear that camisole?
You know, she's still beautiful, and she's very good. She had big influence on the character Chuck, you know, dancing in the kitchen and being like a charming character in the whole movie. So she's a great cast at that. I don't know if she's like constantly working, but I feel like I haven't seen her in a while either. It's good to see her. So it's delicate, it's simple, it's sad. It's sad, but it's not a sad movie, you know? But when you soak up the journey the character's going, you kind of go, wow, that's lovely, you know? It's probably my favorite film of the year. They just beaten out Sinners, but they're way different movies,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I'll be curious. This is always the interesting part of the year where it's like, oh, that movie I love, will it still be? You know, we got another 6 months to go through.
Right.
And the huge award season coming up at the end of the year, will The Life of Chuck hang on and be that movie I'm still talking about? Because I saw it, I liked it. I thought about it later, I liked it more. I thought about it again, Loved it. And even writing out these bullet points that I have in front of me to make sure I talk about everything I want to talk about. I'm again impressed and can't wait to see it again. And when you talk to someone who's seen it, that's when the real talk can happen about what's going on in this movie. So The Life of Chuck, can't recommend it enough.
Cool. All right. What's next?
Well, I can recommend that over... I don't want to go on about bashing movies, but boy, the Karate Kid Legends just did not...
You didn't like it?
Live up. No. Did you see it?
I did.
Yeah.
I liked the script overall. I liked how they brought everything together from the reboot, which should have been actually called Kung Fu from a Little Dude.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
He's a new Karate Kid, but...
Using Kung Fu.
Too much new. But right. So he's got to learn karate real in a week. But yeah.
I didn't.
But it just felt like it's the worst melodrama from the TV show and the bad sort of hacky TV show filmmaking styles with rock music and everything, as opposed to the best stuff we love from the original movies.
What I didn't like was the fact that I felt like there wasn't enough tension between, you know, the protagonist and the antagonist, basically. You know, I just felt like they tried to push it along and kind of sweep it under a little bit, you know, where things didn't build up, I think, as they did, you know, between Daniel and Johnny.
Yeah.
And there wasn't enough buildup. Other than that,
he's just a jerk, right? And then the other guy is new in town, and that's that old concept that they didn't really expand on, unfortunately. And you don't even see Ralph Macchio for an hour.
Yeah, and that's what I thought that they were going to do, is expand on that a little bit more. But I did like how they bring everybody together, though, you know, with at the very beginning, the story and this and that or whatever or what have you. Matter of fact, I have an acquaintance of mine who is a fellow musician, and there was supposed to be, and I'm kind of hoping they do a director's cut, because there was supposed to be a flashback scene with Jackie Chan's character and Miyagi,
yeah, because they have this history, you learned.
Right. So instead of talking about, they were actually going to show it, and there was a scene. And an acquaintance of mine, Shiro, actually played Pat Morita in it.
Yeah.
And they made him look like it and everything. And then they threw the CGI on top of it. It looked freaking amazing. I wish they would have done that and left that in the film, but they didn't, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a little weird. I mean, they did that in Cobra Kai for one flashback scene, too, where Miyagi showed up. They have a tough time doing people still. it's what they call it, the uncanny valley. There's always something just off.
Yeah. Okay. I want to, you know, we've got a couple more films coming up pretty soon and everything. I just want to throw them out real quick and, you know, thumbs off, thumbs up, thumbs down, or like, whatever. So, the Superman film by James Gunn, what do you think? How do you think it's going to do?
Well, I'm doing a whole show called The Countdown to Nine. We're counting down the Superman films until the new one over at the Movie Guys. So we're doing one episode about every Superman movie up till now for 8 movies until we get to the new one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the hype train, building the hype train. And I have to tell you, I was like, oh, could we do a different franchise? Because most of those movies are bad.
Yeah.
Superman 3 is bad. Superman 4 is bad. I didn't really care for Man of Steel. You know, Batman vs. Superman is terrible. Justice League is a mess. The director's cut is better, but it's still not great. Mm-hmm. You know, Superman 2 is good, but the Donner cut, they were all excited about. I watched it and I was like, this is not better. Like, the first one's great. So, I mean, I'm desperate for a new Superman movie that is good. So, mm-hmm. please, James Gunn. I mean, The Suicide Squad was great. All your Guardians movies were great. Bring us a good Superman movie, please. I like David Corin's sweat. I've seen him in a couple other films. Uh-huh. And he's a charming guy. I've already heard Superman say dude in one of the trailers. So, I think they're going to make him, like, hip to a new audience, uh-huh. you know, and not just be totally square, which could work or not. I mean, I'm very curious to see. I don't need the other characters, although I think Nathan Fillion as Guy Gardner is great. I don't know if I need to fill up a Superman movie with other Justice League characters. Just let's just do Superman, right? But the other part I feel positively about is I think it's just, hey, we're going to Metropolis and Superman's going to have an adventure. Got we it. Don't need to do him coming to Earth. We don't need to do his Smallville. We don't need to do, you know, all the origin stuff. We've done it. Right. That worked for Spider-Man in the MCU. When he shows up in Civil War, he's just already Spider-Man doing stuff. We don't have to go back and kill Uncle Ben again and do all this. And right. So then we got three Spider-Man movies that were just fun, awesome adventures. You know, with the Vulture and with, you know, all the other villains that showed up in that, instead of having to retread the same ground. So I'm hopeful in that respect that we just get a cool Superman adventure.
Okay. I'm going to flip it down to the other side. Fantastic Four, First Steps.
Already got my tickets. Yeah, I'm still in love with the MCU. People are getting down on it, but I understand, you know, when they're continuously still quite good. I mean, Thunderbolts was good. Mm-hmm. Captain America Brave New World was good. Yeah, were they Infinity War and Endgame? No, and nothing's going to be. That's the result of 26 movies. We're going to lay down these other films, introduce new characters, and by the time we get to Doomsday and Secret Wars, I mean, all hell's going to break loose. It's going to be awesome. So we got to introduce the Fantastic Four, one of the biggest Marvel groups of characters in the history of the comics. You know, it's hard to believe that they didn't launch the MCU with them, mm-hmm. but that was probably a rights issue. You know, they had to start with Iron Man and Captain America because, you know, Universal had Hulk, and I think Fantastic Four was Sony or something. So, but anyway, it's all in the MCU's basket now, and I think they can play with their toys
okay.
better than ever before. And it's good casting, too.
All right. I'm going to go to the end of the month, July 25th. Basically, we're going to go with the silliness. Happy Gilmore 2. What are your predictions on this one?
You know, I was okay with Happy Gilmore. Can I flip the script on that and switch things over instead to the Naked Gun?
Oh, I was going to ask you about that one, though, too.
Yeah, because Happy Gilmore I thought was okay. It wasn't my favorite of. I like The Wedding Singer, you know, of Sandler's. And,
yeah.
But, I mean, it was good. I'll take another one and I'll watch it. But I'm really looking forward to The Naked Gun.
Yeah.
So, because if you've ever seen Liam Neeson do comedy where he takes his very dramatic gravitas and spoofs it, really funny. Mm-hmm. And when you put Akiva Schaffer, who directed Popstar, you know, and was one of the guys from A Lonely Island directing, and you got Seth MacFarlane in there producing as well. I mean, I'm really looking forward to that. And we need a comedy. That's the other thing I'm pissed about is Happy Gilmore going straight to Netflix. We need another big comedy in the theaters, tent-poling the summer. You know, it's like that's the big movie that weekend. A comedy. This doesn't happen anymore. Comedies get relegated to, you know, off season, or they're indie films, or they go right to streaming. But in the summer, a big comedy. That's what I'm most excited about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw the trailers on that too, and it to me it looks like it's going to be, I think, equivalent to the original Naked Gun stuff, and it looks funny as hell.
I hope so. The OJ joke is just
oh yeah, that's brilliant. So, it's like no, I don't think so.
No one wants this. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. All right. Cool. Well, Paul, it's time for the game, buddy. And did you want to go ahead and stick with us on that?
Yes. Okay. I don't think I won last time, and I've won before.
All right.
So I got to stick around and see what I can do. Who's in the studio?
So right now it's myself, Steve Silva, and of course, intern Christopher will be reading the questions for us.
All right, let's do it.
All right, here we go.
Who am I up against?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the game show that decided to make a film out of Liam Neeson wearing a bikini, quiz me,
quiz you.
glad Paul liked that one.
Oh, yeah.
Alrighty, are you gentlemen ready?
We are ready. Paul's ready.
Game.
Steve's ready. Let's go.
Let's start with question number one. Which suspect in the standard game of Clue has the same name as a bird?
Paul.
Miss
Peacock.
That is correct.
Look at you go.
Paul's
coming in hot.
Yes, he is. Hopefully you're just as hot on question number two. According to his theme song,
What is the most wonderful thing about Tiggers?
Sean.
I think I heard Paul first.
Paul goes first.
But Tiggers are a wonderful thing. The tops are made out of rubber. The bottoms are made out of spring. The bouncy, 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 bouncy,
you're going to get it, but I want to get in line behind this train wreck.
I can't give that answer to you, Paul.
Oh, that's not it, Paul.
I sang the whole damn song.
Well, no, you didn't, because you didn't say the thing.
Oh, man. See, I was going to say this. I was going to say the same thing.
I know the answer.
Okay, well, Steve.
Because I'm the only one.
That is correct. He is the only one.
Oh, I should have just kept singing.
Because that's what's the most wonderful thing about him.
That he's the only one.
Not that just he's a wonderful thing. Why is he a wonderful thing?
Because he's the only one.
Exactly. Good job, Mr. Silva.
Okay, revenge is coming. Winter is coming. Winter is coming to quiz me.
I don't know who you are, but I have a particular set of skills. Skills that can help me answer question number 3.
The wonderful thing about Tiggers is Tigger is a wonderful thing. It's made out of rubber. The bottoms are made out of spring. They're bouncy, flouncy, trouncy, bouncy.
Oh my God!
This is the
so
kind
good.
Of stuff he's gonna kill. He's gonna kill. go watch the TV show. Or don't even watch. Just look the clip up on YouTube. A TV show called Life Is Short, where Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant play Warwick Davis's agent, and they occasionally, once an episode, deal with another client of theirs, and it's Liam Neeson coming in. And he's like, "I want to do comedy," and they talk to him about doing comedy, and it's the funniest scene. Because he just can't be funny. Everything he says, he tries to improvise, and it gets super dramatic real fast. And Ricky and Steven are just like uncomfortable. And he will be like, "I'm sold on the Naked Gun." Anyway, continue.
Yeah.
So, for question number 3: which type of gas is used to fill the extra space in potato chip bags?
Steve.
I don't know.
Steve.
Freon.
No.
In air conditioning? My God, I hope not.
What kind of air?
What kind of gas?
I'll guess. Paul.
Paul.
Carbon dioxide.
No.
Yeah.
Sean.
Sean.
Oxygen?
No. It starts with the letter N.
Steve.
Steve.
Nitrogen.
That is correct. But yeah,
I hate that. By the way, when you get a bag and it's only half a bag, I'm like,
opening up the bag and like not even reaching halfway through. It's like it was there. You know.
Yeah, and then the drinks will do that too. Like our orange juice container, fun new shape. You're getting less for the same amount of money.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Stop it.
Alrighty. Question number 4. What was the name of Rocky Balboa's dog?
Sean.
Sean.
Punchy.
No.
Oh. Wait, I thought the wrong movie.
Nope, that's the wrong dog, Sean.
Oh, wrong dog. Damn it.
Paul.
Because I know which one you were thinking of.
Yeah.
Paul.
I got to guess. Is it Brutus?
That is very close.
I know it is.
No,
but
it's
I don't
not.
Have it. Yeah.
Steve?
But you are so close, Paul.
I know, but I can't get it.
Come on, Steve.
It's just not there right now.
Okay. Yeah,
can I guess again?
Yeah, you
go
can
for
guess
it.
Again.
Go for it,
Paul.
Again.
Paul.
Bluto?
No.
It's right in there, I know, but I can't.
Yeah, no, you're getting close. You're getting close.
All right, what is
close.
It?
It's Butkus.
Butkus. Oh, wow. Yeah, because Punchy is from Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
Yeah, only by the dog there.
Because that's the dog that to the girl.
Right.
So I knew where you were going with it. It was just the wrong dog.
Wrong dog. Wrong decade.
Since you get
wrong century,
you
technically.
Get up again.
Technically wrong century. All right, question number 5. Which U.S. president signed the law making Martin Luther King Day a national holiday?
I'm Paul.
I heard Steve first.
Clinton.
No. Not a bad guess, but no. Paul?
Nixon.
No.
Sean.
Sean.
Bush 2.0.
No. think
Well, Paul. There's like only three more in the time.
Yeah.
Reagan.
That is correct.
Reagan. All right.
Wow. It was
Mr. Ronnie Reagan himself.
Because, I mean, Public Enemy put out the song that, by the time I get to Arizona, protesting the fact that Arizona would not celebrate Martin Luther King Day. They put that out at the end of the 80s, so I knew it had to be 70s or 80s.
Nice deduction skills, Paul.
Well, thank you, Mama. That was a big help.
All right, let's go to question number 6. What color is a baby bald eagle's beak?
Sean. Black.
That is correct.
Whoa.
That was quick on the draw there, Sean.
I've been watching the videos of those bald eagles that were born, so yeah.
Speaking of Reagan, did anybody...
God, Jesus.
Did anybody
Ten
notice...
10 minutes later.
Did anybody happen to notice that the same cancer they found on his nose, they found up his ass?
That's impressive.
They should make
little
a movie
known
about
truths
that.
Of history.
Wow.
Okay.
Speaking of Stephen King.
Yeah. Speaking of catching up.
Hey, Paul, have you seen Bless the Beast and the Children yet?
No. Did you tell me to watch that last time?
Yes, you got to watch it.
I got to write that down.
All right.
I'm going to write it down, and things will change.
All right, let's go move on to question number 7. We got our round robin for today.
Round robin.
What year did Bill Haley and the Comets release the album Rock Around the Clock?
Sean.
Let's see if you guys can pull a year out of that one, Sean.
1955.
1955.
Because a single came out in 56.
Okay. Reasonable deduction skills. Who would like to throw the next year into the ring?
Steve. Oh, so he's wrong?
Well, no. This is the round robin, so everyone gives me a year and then closest.
Oh, copy that. Thanks for the rules.
Yeah, and you can say the same number as someone else. So it's not a lockout like others. But Steve, you want to give our next
1953.
Year? 53, okay.
You're going to go early? Wow.
So, Paul, you're the last one to give a year.
Yeah, I'm going to – I think I did this before. I can't remember if it worked out or not, but I'm going to price is right Sean's ass and go 56.
Okay, all righty. Can I get a drum roll for my man in the back, please? Now, one of you actually got it directly on, and that person was Mr. Sean Roberts. Right on the dot with 55.
Yeah, because
he gave us too much information to make it look like he didn't know it, so he certainly
yeah.
did.
Yeah, because like I said, the single came out in 54, so I figured the album must have come out in 55.
And as I said, good deduction skills.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let us move on to question number 8. What black stone is the most common volcanic rock on Earth?
What black stone?
Let's see if you know your rock. People.
Sean. A pumice rock?
No.
Aww.
It's the black. It's like glass. You can
hi-ya.
It off.
Paul. Guess since I don't know, I'll guess coal.
No, this is...
Not a bad guess, but no.
Oh, why can't I read...
It's in your head, Steve.
It's in there. I know it.
Let me pull it out.
All I got was basalt.
Well, I mean, do you want to go with that?
I'll go with that.
Basalt?
Yeah.
That is correct!
Wow!
I was thinking, I'm surprised that none of you said obsidian, though, because I thought that was going to be the first guess on people's mind.
No, that's too big of a word for me to say.
Yep.
I didn't know Steve was guessing. I thought he was quitting the game to go. I'm going to go bath salts. Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Question number 9. This might be a little bit of a tricky one or an easy one. Who knows? What is Barbie's full name?
Oh, my gosh.
These are my favorite types of questions. The ones that are simple, but yet not.
But nobody's ever really concentrated on it.
Exactly.
Paul. Yeah.
Paul. I heard Paul first.
Oppenheimer.
Half a point to Paul. I don't care. That's fun. That's those a funny answer as hell. You get half a point for that. Somebody else said their name. I don't remember.
Barbie. I mean, I did. Okay, Sean. Barbarella.
That is very close.
Oh shit!
That's very close to the first name.
I say Steve.
Steve.
Barbara and
Rella.
I can't think of the rest of it.
You're just going to go with Barbara then?
What?
Are you just going to go with Barbara then? Are you just going to go with Barbara then?
No. Barbara Ann something.
Okay.
Okay.
That, I mean, that is, Barbara is the first name. Okay. And what you have is like the middle initial?
Ann. A.
Ann. A.
Ann. No, but I will. I will give you the point unless someone can give me a more correct answer. But if no one has it, this will go to Steve. Sean.
Barbara Andrea.
No.
No. Okay. All right. What is it then?
How about Barbara Aloysius?
It's Barbara Millicent Roberts.
She's got my last name.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
Yeah. You guys are distant cousins. You didn't know?
Had no idea.
Dang, you got to do like that Ancestry.com stuff?
23andMe.
Yeah. I mean, she's got like 20 different models, 23 different models, you know?
There you go.
All right, we have our final question. Question number 10.
Yep.
All right. Honestly, I couldn't believe this when I first read it, but here it is. Which U.S. state is the only one where its capital city has no McDonald's?
Sean. Hawaii.
Not a bad guess, but no. Nah. Yeah, it's these weird ones I love having for the final question. Because you're just like, what?
Steve. Rhode Island.
No, but we're on the right coast now.
Oh.
We are on the right side of the country.
All right. Your guess, Paul.
Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Delaware? Hi, I'm in Delaware.
No, not Delaware.
Sean. New Hampshire?
No, but we are very close to it now. Steve.
Connecticut.
No, we're further away now. Sean was closest with his guess.
Paul? Vermont.
That is correct. Vermont.
You narrowed it down. I was almost going to guess New York because people might think New York has them. Yeah. Oh, wait, not
that city, not the capital. Yeah, because Albany.
But I guess there's one in Albany too. So
yeah.
There's your weird fun fact for the day. There's no
McDonald's.
There's no McDonald's in the capital in Vermont's capital.
Montpellier.
Because it's all French food. That's probably the reason why.
They're French. They are so obstinate.
They also like their maple syrup over there.
Yes, they do, and their hams. All right. Paul, what movies are you going to be checking up with us next time, man? Any ideas? Are we going to go see?
Well, I mean, a month from now, all manner of stuff will be opening. You know, I would also recommend out there now before it goes away is Materialists.
Okay.
The new film from Celine Song. So go watch that. She made Past Lives in 2023, which was nominated for Best Picture. So I would watch that. I mean, yeah, by the next time we talk, I mean, we're going to have Superman. We're going to have... Fantastic Four, probably. Yes, I mean, both of those.
Mm-hmm.
Check out. I feel bad that I didn't get to F1 before I saw you guys. I've been busy.
Yeah.
But
that looks interesting.
The guy who made all those amazing flight sequences in Top Gun handling F1 racing.
I saw something the other day, and I was quite surprised by it, too. But I guess Brad Pitt made an announcement or whatever regarding that their version of Ford versus Ferrari got axed because Tom Cruise was going to star in it as well. And I guess they would not allow Tom to drive. And therefore he backed out of that version of the film.
What?
Yeah.
Well, they let him do anything.
I know.
His next movie is going to be made, I believe, in space. So.
Yeah. And the thing is, he already did Days of Thunder already. So what the hell?
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Yeah, so anyway. All right, my friend, it was good to talk to you. Good to catch up and everything, too. And thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to watching more of these clips of the Oasis reunion. I don't know if you've seen it, but in England, you know, Oasis did their first reunion show.
Yesterday, yeah.
Just madness. The crowd is berserk, and it looks like quite the scene. So anyway, go watch those if you want to see like your daily smile of the day. Like, the concert's just incredible.
Cool.
And everybody going stuff, throwing drinks and jumping up and down, and it's like old school rock concert vibe.
Nice. Really cool. So. Nice.
Oh, and Paul.
Yes.
Bless the beasts and the children. Like,
well,
Carpenter
now I've written
song.
It down. Yes, okay, good. I've written it down. Okay.
All right, brother. We'll see you next time.
Farewell, gang.
All right. Take care, buddy. Have a good one. All right, guys. And that is the show for us. Thanks so much for joining us today. I've got a gig later on tonight, so I got to start preparing for that. So I'm looking forward to it. So until next week, be good to each other, and we'll catch you next time.
On the flip-flop.
Goodbye, world.
Wear those bikinis.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget you can support the show by going to yourweeklydose.com and donating for our crowdfunding by clicking on the donation button on the main page of the website. Remember to follow us on X and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and on Facebook at yourweeklydose and subscribe to us on YouTube. We'll see you next week.